Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. This is Kyle Gargaro, Editorial Director of the ACHR News. Today, we're going to talk about the economy and how it affects the HVAC contractor. To help us out with that, we're welcoming Brian Bulio of ITR Economics. Hopefully, I did not butcher the last name, Brian.
No, that was fine, Kyle. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. Good. Let's get right in it, because it's an interesting topic, at least certainly for me, and I'm guessing for you as well. Now that COVID seems to be behind us, maybe, are we having kind of that V-shaped recovery that we're all hoping for, or something else happening out there?
Well, it's that V-shape on steroids, at least for the most HVAC contractors. With the remodeling going on, and on the residential side, the new build, and on the non-res even, in select areas, the new construction and their maintenance that has that needs to be done because it wasn't done during COVID. There's a lot of work out there, and the most difficult thing is managing the supply chain and getting the material in place to get the job done. I don't think anybody saw that coming, and it happened for various and sundry reasons, and we still have a ways to go before we're through with the supply chain issues.
Right. And I know if you watch the news, or you read the newspaper, you hear about inflation. Can you kind of define that, and how bad that might be for the economy? Can you define that a little bit for our listeners, and how it will hurt the economic recovery, if it will?
Sure. Inflation is this really broad topic. When you're working B2B, or when you're bringing in the raw material, you're seeing 79% increase in some of your prices, although a lot of those prices are coming down over the last couple of weeks. It's already subsiding. And there's a tendency to want to take those lumber increases, copper increases, material costs, and say, well, why isn't it showing up in the consumer price index, the CPI? And it's not going to, because not all of that price increase is being pushed through to the ultimate consumer. Now, we did see core inflation, which is what the Fed looks at, go up to 3.0%. And it's not going to go much higher than that. And the Fed has been very clear that they think this whole surge in pricing, including the 3.0% of the CPI core, is transitory. It's just not going to last. And we agree with them. I mean, we don't always agree with the Fed, but our take is as demand slows, and it is going to slow, this V is going to start angling off, right? So as that happens, demand isn't on this torrid rising trend anymore. And the supply chain will eventually catch up. So you have these prices not necessarily going down at the consumer level, but you have this moderation and this increase. It'll turn into a plateau. And then you will see some decline in those prices toward normalized levels, because they're anything but normal right now. And ultimately, normal will return, right? And that'll likely be late 21 and into 22, you start getting more of that normalization of prices, maybe more 22 to mid 22 before you see the completion of that. So it is transitory in terms of what we're seeing now. And it's not going to seriously impact the economy, because we're not going to see rising interest rates, and we're not going to see that long-term distortion. But your question, and I'm sorry it's a long answer, but your question really is twofold. There's the short term, but we see at ITR Economics that beginning around 23-24, there's more embedded systemic inflation, not this flash inflation, but more long-term, insidious, eating the economy type inflation that's going to come. And that's going to result in higher and higher interest rates. And that's not good for most of us. I can't say all of us, but it's not good for most of us. And in terms of import costs, the value of the US dollar is going to be going down because of all this deficit spending that we've engaged in. And that alone creates another source of inflation. Then we have labor costs that aren't going to go back down, right? So now we have a third source of inflation, and it becomes much more difficult to root out. And we have to figure out, as contractors, how are we going to handle these price increases that we're going to have to deal with on a fairly regular basis? But again, I'm not talking about 2022 or maybe not even 23. I'm talking about longer term. So we have time to prepare for it, but it is going to feel like a new paradigm that we have to deal with.
So you're saying that the cost right now is just because of a supply and demand issue. Yeah. That'll kind of level out, and maybe we'll have a nice year or so, or 2 years. But then all this spending that we're doing with the COVID money, the check's going to come due, and you're saying that somewhere in like 23, 24, 25?
Exactly. That's it. Okay. And thanks for making that succinct. I wish I could have done that.
But. Well, I didn't know the information. I'm just glad I got it right. From the HVAC perspective, is it more of a supply issue or a demand issue? Or is it just kind of a combination of both on why we're having trouble here?
It's a combination of both from what we can tell. Because of the stimulus that's been applied to the economy, there's good demand in a lot of places. And the supply chain is continuing to be messed up, right? So we just have this imbalance between supply and demand. I don't know if you saw that the Indian variant of COVID-19 cropped up in Guangdong province. So they just shut the port down. So there's, instead of getting some resolution to our supply chain issues, COVID is the gift that keeps on giving. It's awful.
Yeah. If you don't mind, let's go through the areas for HVAC, and maybe you can kind of shed a little light. The first one I was going to throw up was new home construction. If contractors are in that market, what are you seeing in the short to medium term here?
They're going to be very busy. And by medium term, let's take it out through 2022. Okay. They're going to be very busy. Really all aspects of that market. The inventory is too low, interest rates are staying low, certainly favorable for the housing market. And the demand out there is very strong because there's so much liquidity in the economy. That's a green light, green. Hit the pedal, you're going to be busy. So the question then becomes, do I have enough resources? Do I have enough labor? Do I have enough time? Do I have enough energy? Working capital becomes a big deal, right? When you're on the rise, you better make sure you have enough working capital.
What can you kind of explain a little bit why this housing market is going crazy? Just not, I guess more people want to buy a house than they want to sell a house. But is this kind of a normal ebb and flow, or is this COVID related?
It has been exaggerated by COVID. People, the remodeling certainly has, but even the moving has. It's just people are moving their money to different areas. And I'm thinking in particular of a little town in northern New Hampshire where one of our daughters lives. And the house prices there in this little old mill town that has no real economic infrastructure, those home prices have doubled because people from out of state are moving in because they want to escape the cities and things like that. So where you are, all of a sudden, where it was a backwater no one wanted to be, is all of a sudden popular, and it creates all sorts of economic distortions, right? So the cities are losing, and suburbia and the countryside is winning.
Okay. How about the repair and replacement market that a lot of contractors in on the residential side? I'm assuming that's tied greatly to consumer confidence, but are more people want to repair or replace? I'm guessing replace.
We're seeing an interesting mix, actually, because the inventory out there is so low for homes, existing or new. They're deciding, okay, let's repair, let's remodel. Let's make do with what we have. COVID was an amazing phenomenon, right? It made us all stay home. So it made us all look around at our homes and say, I don't really like that. So
right.
Let's fix it.
Right. And we weren't spending money on other things. I'm not quite sure how it'll happen now. Now people are starting to take vacations, go out to eat. So how is consumer confidence or how comfortable do they feel in the money they have?
I don't look at the consumer confidence index because it's not a very good predictor. But I look at the business. I look at the business confidence one, because if businesses are confident, then employment stays strong, and I think maybe consumers feel good. And I'd say consumers are feeling quite confident right now, and consumer confidence index must be very high. I was just looking at the weekly retail sales data. And we're now June, right? So this would have been for the week ending June 18th. So June 2020, you know, most of the COVID was behind us, but it was still a weak quarter. But retail sales on the like discount side of things, and so I'm talking about Walmart and Target, and those are, is up 23.7% from a year ago. And they're the Amazon, and them are the ones we were buying from a year ago. So consumers are still out there spending incredible amounts of money. The amount of money that they have saved is, last time I looked, it was almost $1 trillion higher than is normal. Wow. And the bankers I talked to are telling us that they've seen a surge in deposits by about 1/3. All the money is just sitting there waiting to be spent in the future. And that tells me that there's a lot more consuming that's going to be had in the future. And not just on the restaurants, but on these big ticket items or homes, that sort of thing.
Okay. And then I say this last area intentionally last, because I think it might be a little bit more bad news. The commercial market. Obviously, who knows how many people are going to go back and work in an office, that's to be determined. But if HVAC contractors are heavy in the commercial market, can you kind of tell them what to expect?
If you're heavy in the commercial market, and that's a very broad category, right? But generally, you would expect things stay lean into 1Q 2022 or 4Q 2021. Then it starts picking up, which is sooner than we had originally anticipated because of the sheer size of the stimulus. But if you break that market down, if you're working in logistics or warehouse space, you're doing incredibly well. It's a land office business. If it's office building, it's all about remodeling, restructuring for smaller footprint, and if anything's going on there. And if it's brick and mortar retail, you know, that's pretty much dead right now, right? So you get in school systems, manufacturing buildings, hospitals, they're all rounding the bend in the second half of 21 and getting on an upward plane for 2022.
Do you see it? It's been an issue for as long as I've been covering the industry, but getting employees is always, you know, tough job number one for the contractors. So when you look kind of the unemployment numbers and who's looking for a job, and do you see that getting any easier for contractors this year, or is it just gonna have to deal with what we're dealing with?
We got to deal with what we've been dealing with. Maybe get a little bit more creative. I don't know how many contractors take the time or have the time to do this, but go into the high schools or even the middle schools and, you know, mentor some of them, show them what the job is like, how they can make a good living. It's honorable to work, make a good living. And you don't get, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt going through a school to get a degree that you're never going to use. Summer mentoring programs sometimes can help in that regard. But it is going to stay difficult, Kyle. We see the labor shortage as being the predominant thorn in business's side for this decade. So if you have people, the first thing you have to do is retain them. Make sure they're happy, make sure they have opportunities to grow, to learn more, improve their skills. And you have a culture that they want to remain a part of. That's job one. And then you can have an easier time recruiting, right, and holding on. A company I was looking at, you know, the turnover in the first 90 days of people they would hire was incredible, because people would come in, they didn't really realize what the job was about. They thought it was too hard, and maybe the onboarding process needed to be fine-tuned a little bit. It's tough. Nice people are probably going to win because
okay, yeah,
you don't have to work for the bad person anymore.
Right.
There was a study in June that showed that 41 to 47% of all employees who could be mobile intend to change jobs or at least look for another job by the end of this year. So the need to work on this retention is now before your people skip.
Right.
Right. It's not a future problem. It's a today problem.
Right. I gotcha. Any advice for HVC contracts, maybe a few action items when you look at what you're seeing in the economy, what's coming down, like how you're saying the interest rates you see are probably going to jump up in a couple of years. What should contractors be doing now to prepare for what you're seeing in the future?
I think now is a good time at these low interest rates to leverage the future. So if you have a plan, you have been growing, you see how you're going to grow, but you just need more trucks or you need more equipment or better computers, now's a great time to go out there and borrow that money to get it done. And the banks want to lend it to you. In a couple of years, you're not going to want to do that. And in 8 years, you're not going to want to be in debt. So go out there and you borrow the money at a fixed rate, not a variable rate, because these rates are going to be going back up. And you buy those trucks and you provide the equipment that your teams are going to need to really be efficient and great for the customer.
Okay. And back when we used to have in-person events, remember whenever I'd hear someone from ITR speak, they're always talking about this Great Depression that was coming in about 2030. And 5 or 6 years ago, it's 15 years away. Now all of a sudden it's, you know,
kinda
it's
real,
within,
right?
Yeah, it's within seeing distance now. Are you guys, obviously COVID changed a lot of things. Are you updating that or you still kind of see that a day of reckoning coming for the economy in 8-9 years?
Well, we clearly are updating because of what COVID has gone through, has done to us. You know, question number one was, does it alter the timeline of what we used to see? And then question number two is, does it alter the magnitude of what we saw coming? And the answers to both those questions, in the first instance, timeline, no, we don't see any reason to change the timeline. The second is if we continue to spend money at an accelerating pace, our government being we, then it could turn out to be worse than we were anticipating. The inflation that we always knew was going to be there, now we know how it's coming. And so that part of the scenario in our minds has been solidified. But the government is spending more money than anybody has a right to be spending if you expect the world to continue to lend you money to maintain your lifestyle at a time when we're closing our borders to trade and the world is going into a nationalistic mode, right? Everybody's in it for themselves. Globalization is dying and nationalism is on the rise. That's a very tenuous position for us to be in. And I'm sorry, this is going to bore you, too many people, but I worry about if the world's banking system stops relying on the US dollar, then they clearly have no interest in how we are doing in our country. And interestingly enough, our old friend Russia has made it very clear they're dumping dollars. They don't want to be holding dollars anymore. And that makes me nervous when an enemy starts deciding they don't want to hold dollars anymore.
Sure. One final question, then I'll get you out of here. How does the stock market keep on going up through all this? Like, I mean, it's great, right? But it feels like you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. But I mean, I don't know how many years now in a row we've been growing. I know you guys don't specifically look at that, I don't believe, but any knowledge to share would be appreciated.
Sure. What's driving the stock market up is all the money that the Federal Reserve has created, put out into the economy. Interest rates are low, so you go to the stock market to get a return. And Kyle, I don't remember if you remember the dot-com bubble a of the late 1990s. This is what is the dot-com redux. We're investing in stocks that could never possibly make enough money to justify their valuation, right? And it's going to have the same result. This market will correct, and it will be nasty when it does. We don't think that's in 2021, but as you said, we don't specifically forecast the market. We have built a tool called the Optimizer, and right now the signal is for us to get defensive. So we're shifting our portfolio around to get a little bit more defensive because things are a little bit more shaky right now. But I don't think it's the beginning of the correction, but you're right. This market is crazy. And anybody who can remember the late 1990s has a good paradigm for what we're going through and what we can expect when the shoe falls.
I'm kind of disappointed you don't predict that. I was hoping you'd give me a call about 2 days before the market was going to correct and kind of talk me through it, but I guess not. Well, thank you very much for your time. If listeners want to kind of find out more information, or I know you guys have a blog on the site there, where should I be sending people to learn more about this economic knowledge that you're providing?
I just itreconomics.com. Just go to our site, and there's all sorts of free material from blogs to podcasts, video content. We just want people to know. And I appreciate you giving us this opportunity to help people know so they can better prepare and better prosper.
No, absolutely. I find all that information fascinating. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us today, Brian.
My pleasure, Kyle. Thank you.